Pháp thoại mà các bạn đang nghe được phát từ phatam.com, website hàng đầu về truyền thông đa phương tiện Phật giáo.
Please find yourself a comfortable posture. Keep your back straight. Relax your shoulders, your two hands. Focus to your breath. When you are breathing in, you are aware this is the in-breath. When you're breathing out, you are aware this is the out-breath. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I relax my mind. Breathing in, calming the body. Breathing out, relaxing the mind. Breathing in, I am aware of the present moment. Breathing out, I enjoy this wonderful moment. Breathing in, present moment. Breathing out, wonderful moment. Breathing in, I am aware the Sangha surround me. Breathing in, I smile. Breathing in, Sangha surround. Breathing out, smile. Good afternoon, my dear brothers, sisters. Today is June the 9th, 2012. We are having our monthly mindfulness day. First of all, I would like to welcome all of you for this wonderful day. I hope you did enjoy the day so far. And also, you enjoy the lunch with the Sangha. My dear brothers and sisters, when we are practicing meditation, it's to help us to calm ourselves, the body and also the mind. And when we're able to calm, and we also apply this kind of calming into our life, and it makes us to slow down. Slow down doesn't mean you will retard for all your activities. But slow down in order to make things more well, more successful, and more mindful. For example, I also lift up the stick and then I will invite the bell. But if I don't slow down to lift up the stick mindfully and invite the bell mindfully, I cannot make the sound beautiful. I will do things in rush. We also walk downstairs, but the one who walk rushing and the one who walk mindfully still walking downstairs, but we look at the one who walk downstairs slowly and gently, look more nicer, and their steps more stable, more solid. We do everything the same, but with mindfulness, things will done nice and neat. When you bring a dish to a table, or you set up the table for dinner or lunch, the one who have mindful practice and the one who just do it just because they do it look different. So the word I use, slow down, doesn't mean from the time we practice everything will late, everything will retard, but everything will now slow down and things will done more mindfully. And we will mindful on our activities. Not only that, but also mindful on whatever arises in our mind. And what is that called? The insight. Slowly, slowly, we build up, we light up the insight within us to see things clearly. And know how to arrange things clearly. We need to reflect and to see, to focus on everything we do. Also, everything arises in the mind. For instance, if I go to somewhere, let's say you give me something, and then if you say these things for sale, even very cheap, it's only 50 cents each, but when I need to pay, even not much, but every single thing I pick, I will look up and down, turn around and find the good one to buy. But if those things somebody put the sign up, it's free. We never do that. We just grab and take more and more. We don't care because it's free. We never choose, we never select. But anything we need to pay, even only 25 cents or even 10 cents, we still need to bring up and down and, you know, everything like that. So when things like that arise, we need to stop and we need to see those kind of mind that arise in us and to smile at our mental formation, our negatives. Many, many things that may cause us feel unhappy, feel disagree, feel upset easily in daily life. If, especially when you work together as a group, the disagreement can happen anytime. You want this, but the other want to do the other way. So yesterday we have talked about the word affliction. Sometimes we think, oh, if somebody touch us, we will get angry, and that's called affliction. But actually, sometimes nothing related to us, but we just feel disagreed and we feel unhappy. For example, today we set up 5 cushions in front here. And usually we will set up a Thai spot right in the middle. But if you sit down there and you say, somebody set up not straight, you sit there but you don't feel all right. That's already affliction. Sometimes the main thing is to sit and listen to the sharing from Thai. But you sit down there and then you feel very uncomfortable because someone did not set up something as you expected. Bother your mind already. The whole thing. The whole session. So therefore, if we do not practice, if we do not reflect, we cannot build up our insight. We cannot increase the mindfulness within us. So therefore, a day like this is very needed. When you are quiet your mind, quiet your speech, quiet your behavior, your actions, you will see a lot of habits, negative habits in you arise. For example, we have a time called relaxation. Somebody very tired at work, they wish someday they wish to have 10 minutes for relaxation. But today, when you come to a mindfulness day, you have an hour to relax, but I still can see they cannot, you know, lie down and relax totally. Still crawling and, you know, feel uncomfortable. Why is that? Because the habit of moving, you know, in us, even though we really want. But when it's come to the session, we cannot maintain how to relax. When I was a kid, oh, I wish that I can, you know, when it's time to go to school, we don't want to wake up. We want to sleep in. But Saturday, Sunday is days to sleep in. We don't sleep. We wake up early. Is that true? In, you know, in our monastery here, the phone call a lot. Many, many phone calls. And I wish that someday I can sleep in, so no phone call. So if any day I was in Westlock and, you know, no phone, I cannot sleep. Those days I can, you know, I can totally relax. But I still wake up early. I cannot sleep. When I sit there, I lie down there and I reflect on our habits, and we can smile with it. So what is the purpose of calming and reflecting and clearly on things happen in our mind, in our daily activities? And we can see, we still have a lot of negative habits. We still need to work on with us a lot. So therefore, the Buddha said, take refuge unto yourself. Do not take refuge on anyone, on anything, of course. At the very beginning, we need the Sangha. The Sangha will support, the teacher will support, but we need to learn. How about someday we practice without the teacher, without Thai, without the Sangha? To test. We need to do a contest within ours. For example, you expect this Friday I will come, I will have Sangha, I will have Thai. Suddenly when you step in, you take a seat for half hour and you realize Thai is not home. You feel disappointed. You want to leave right away. In the moment, we need to don't stand up yet. Usually whenever the mind arises, we stand up right away. But the second thing, slow down. Wait a minute. If Thai is home, he still come out and sit quietly. He never say anything. So we still sit the same. You know, at the Buddha's time, sometime the Buddha travel for 3 months to give lecture, and the Buddha is not at the monastery. And few of his disciples miss the Buddha a lot. So what they did is they share their feelings with the elder monks. And the elder monks said that you can now plant the Bodhi tree in the temple. So whenever you see the Bodhi tree, you feel that the Buddha is home. And since then, we have the tradition to have the Buddha statue. At the Buddha's time, we don't have the statue of the Buddha. So because the Buddha traveled a lot, so some of the young monks, they missed the Buddha. So the elder monks create an idea. How about sculpture the Buddha's image, the Buddha's statue, to live at the temple somewhere. So whenever you pass by, you see the statue of the Buddha, you can realize, you feel like the Buddha is still home. Since that, we have the tradition to have the Buddha statue. Sometimes we have a memorial hall or a room of senior monks. After they pass away, they still keep the room. Not because we attach, but that is the symbol to keep our practice. That's why we need an altar at home. When we have an altar of our ancestor or our Buddha, then we feel that we not dare to do anything wrong. It's always an encouragement for all of us to keep a good practice, a good shape in the practice. So we need to learn the song, taking refuge unto myself. Because not all the other refuge, not stable, not solid. When you are taking the three refuges in the Buddha, in the Dharma, and in the Sangha, and this is the introduction words that the monks used to say. The image of the Buddha, the books, the Sangha, these are all you need to take refuge. But you have to know, they are not permanently refugees. Since you recognize the image of the Buddha, you also recognize the Buddha within you, the Dharma within you, the Sangha within you. These triple gems, you can carry all directions. Anywhere You calm, you relax, you mindful in that spot, the triple gems there. Vietnamese used to say, Mười phương Phật, the Buddha's intended direction. But first, you need to have one direction first. You direct your mind to the practice. And then, when you are successful in your practice, you can recognize anywhere, any directions, there are Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. If you read the Lotus Sutra, and there was a chapter mentioned about there was a father who is a good doctor. But when the doctor is home, the father doctor gave the medicine, all the children refused to take. One day the father have to leave home and send a message back home. Your father died. But before he left home, he already have some medication there. So if you love your father, make sure you finish all the medications. Oh, the children now so disappointed, so suffer. They took all the medications because they missed their father. They think about their father's words. They took the medication. After they took the medication, they get well and the father back home. They meet their father. The Lotus Sutra said that. The father is the Buddha. The medication is the teachings, is the practice. Now the Buddha no longer here. So that's why we need to diligently take the practice, apply the practice into ourselves. Once you adapt, when you go along with the Dharma, you recognize the Buddha is no other places than within you. The Buddha, the Father, arrived back home. I took this chapter in the Lotus Sutra and I share with the Catholic Church group when they invited me to give a talk on the Good Fridays service and the Easter Monday. I said, Jesus is the same. Jesus left, but Jesus alive back. That means once you recognize the practice within you, the Buddha within you, the Buddha never die. The Buddha just pretend. For example, when you see the flower, you say, oh, this flower, death. But this is only the pretending of the death. The flower become composed and nourished for many other embodies, manifestation of the flower. So we need the teacher. We need the Sangha. But sometimes we need to challenge. How about without? You know, I start to work with the community and give lecture like this since I am 17. You know, after 2 days I ordained as a novice, the master told me, I already have a plan to travel in the United States for 1 month to give retreat and lectures, Dhamma talks. So you need to stay home by yourself. Just after 2 days, no longer. My teacher left me for 1 month after I became a novice for 2 days. Unfortunately for me, a very famous man in the city, in the Vietnamese community, he got an accident and he passed away. So the family came to the temple and invite monks for service. No master home. There was only a young monk's 2 days ordination. What can you do? I have to sit down and research and, you know, and set up everything how to conduct a funeral service. So I start to do a funeral service, you know, like a leader, leading for the service, just after 2 days as a novice. When I'm 17, the whole temple went for summer retreat in Montreal. I have to stay back home to lead the mindfulness day. The master called me into his room and said, "We are leaving tomorrow, and you have to lead the retreat tomorrow. What do you do? Tell me what you do." I said, "Master, I am a novice, so I know what to do. I have to do something within my power only. I cannot do like a fully monk. Because I am a novice, I will lead the retreat as a novice." After a mindfulness day like that, all the seniors went to the master and said, "Master, from now on you have to be happy and feel, don't worry when you travel. Your student can do everything, can manage everything at the temple." In Vietnamese, we used to say, if you don't leave your son alone, he never grow up. Sometimes we need to let the children to be independent. For example, this morning is one example. I told Michael, there was a funeral. I need to prepare. Michael, you sit at the bell and lead the sangha. Actually, I don't need that much time. But you know, I want to slowly training all the young monks. But I will stand at their back. Whenever they do chanting, whenever they give sharing, I always sit at the back and listen. But pretending I'm not there. Sometimes they feel shy, they are shining. But I want them, you know, to learn and to be strong. Let's say if one day they cannot continue this path and they step out as their regular life, they still strong and independent and know how to manage for their life, for their family. But remember, who is our teacher? Ourselves. We teach ourselves. You know, when I was a novice, every time even the master asked me to come and invite the bell, my hand wet. And you can see how scared am I. When I need to stand up and hold the microphone and give announcement, not talk, just some announcement. Like Michael this morning, when he passed me back the microphone, the whole microphone is wet. So I teasing him. I show him, and he just smiled. Joshua also can lead the service. Joshua can hold up the microphone and lead the service. Last week, the young monks was in Westlock on the Joshua home, and he need to be a translator for Sunday service. He did not understand much, but he still tried. We are the same, in different level, different way. Like our brother Paul, when I give him the five contemplation, he said, "Read out loud." Never do that before. Sometimes the senior monks invite the young monks and all kids. They come up and say, they declare the date. "Dear Sangha, today is June the 9th, 2012. Declaration the date. Slowly be strong in front of many people." That means to training ourselves. Did you watch the movie called Home Alone? We need to be home alone. Sometimes we need to contest ourselves in that way. How about we come on Friday without Thai? I think 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, you practiced on your own one Friday. Thai is not home. Young monks have to attend the graduation of one of the novices. And all the sisters and the brothers practice on yourself. Many Vietnamese temples in North America now, they have no monk at all, no spiritual leader. All the lay members, they are leading them, the group together. For example, in Regina, no monk. I only attend main service, but weekly service they have to do on themselves. When we are cultivating the mindfulness in a high degree in us, the loving kindness also arises in us. The loving kindness, the compassionate. One of the bodhisattva that we need to think of and learn from, and that bodhisattva called Avalokita. Her practice is compassionate. The bodhisattva manifests in a lady form. The form of the lady symbolized for the mother's love. One day, there was a teenager. He came and complained to a monk. "Master, I hate that guy." The master said, "I'm happy when you still have the feeling of hate. Because I know that when you still have feeling hate, that means one day you will love. The scary thing that you have no hate and no love within yourself, that means you turn yourself into, you know, very cold. You have no feelings for anyone. That's not good." When in Buddhism, when we say no attachment, doesn't mean we have no feelings for anything. Doesn't mean that. The more you practice, the more you love. Even though you don't like something, but that's okay. That means your heart still soft. That's why you hate. But because you hate, you have a chance to love. But if you have no love, no hate, you turn yourself like a rock, like an ice, that is not good. So we need to read the evoking the names of the bodhisattva often. Let's say before you go to bed, you can bring out that paragraph and read before you go to bed. We evoke your name, Avalokiteshvara. We vow to learn from you. Listening to others wholeheartedly and with the mind of love. We vow to sit attentively and listening deeply to those who share and for those who did not share yet. If you have cultivated the loving kindness with enough within you, sometimes you need that person to share, but by looking at them, you know how suffer they are, how sadness they are, and you can find the way to sit beside them, and sometimes you know they are not ready for, you won't talk, but the hands of love also can support and encourage them. This is not the philosophy. This is the practice. I don't know, did you learn the news within 10 days now, from now? There's a young man went to Wobbomum Lake, and then he died, and the body just found on last Wednesday, like after 11 days. And today is the funeral of his. I never met him, but when I hear he passed away like that, I sat, and I feel I love him like my brother. So when I do chanting, when I come there for the service today, I spend 10 minutes like I talk to him to understand the way he passed away. He may not accept. He may really suffer. I remember I have read a letter from a Buddhist master sent to Japan for the victims last March. And I remember one message he said. All the victims in Japan, we die along with you. We suffer along with you. Even though here we have no disaster. But when we hear something like that in the other half of our planet, we can feel that we deeply sad and suffer along with them. So that's why we send our love to them by sending some support. This morning was very touched by one of our brother in the Sangha. He gave me the donation to support for the summer retreat. I don't mean about the donation, but what he touched me is, you know, I just mentioned something last night without any purpose, but he can feel, and he show his feeling and his sharing. You do that all the time, and you will be very happy, because when you're able to help someone, when you're able to relieve someone suffer, you feel very happy. And this is what I have feel all the time. Someday I'm very tired. But if someone, you know, they knock on my door and they want to see me at first, you know, I'm very tired. I try. But after a while, sitting and sharing and talk, and I can see their face, you know, relief right away. When they left the temple, I feel that, you know, if I sleep, if I rest, I didn't do things like this. I did not. No, there's no meaningful then helping someone. Sacrifice some of our own time to do something for others is a happiness. We need to practice what we call the compassionate meditation. We need to select the object to meditate each day depends on what problem we are dealing with. For example, if we have a lot of desires, in the desire there are different kinds of desires. Sexual desire, material desire, a sleeping desire, food desire, many different kinds of desires. And what is that? That is the object
we need to meditate on and we need to transform. For example, now they open the school, what they call the Kumon. If any kids, they are weak in math, we need to send them to Kumon. They repeat and repeat, adding, subtracting all the time. Unless the kids get, you know, can add quickly or subtract quickly. So what is the Kumon response? The Kumon school responds on the difficulties of each of the kids. I have a member now, he opened his small place where he can help all the Vietnamese children, what subject they weak on. And one of our novice, this is the month of final exam. He need to see that man often, so that man can help him. So I permit him to attend that class. In the Vietnamese association in downtown, every summer they also open the class and they call for volunteers from the community. If you need English, you need math, you need bio, you need chemistry, any subject that you weak, you come and learn from those brothers and sisters, volunteering. So remember, when we practicing, we need to find, we need to realize what difficulties within us the most. Take that as become your main object on your practice. We do not just sit there for nothing. We don't sit quietly for nothing. But we are working with our mind. We are working with our difficulties. The same as if you reflect on your body, you realize what happened to your body, treat that sickness right away. So Sister Tan Quang now taking the Chinese medicines, and she feel good, better now. So she introduced Thai to go there. Yesterday, I'm lazy to come there. She knocked on my door. I already booked the appointment. I give you a ride. You must go. After, when we success on something, we don't keep that for ourselves, but we share. In the temple, you know, very lot of funny things. When someone taking some medicine and that work for them, they want the whole world to take the same. They bring and they advertise. And they took, they went to the Chinese doctor to read the pulse, and they took some herbalist, and now they so well and they want everybody to go there. I teasing them, I say, did you take some commission? When we live in the world of material life, sometimes we can see that a lot of people, their life is very luxury, but they're not happy at all. They don't have a family meal. They cannot smile fully. Their eyes still contain lot of suffering. If you are the nurse, if you are the doctor, I think you're able to recognize this. And if you are a deep practitioner, you also can recognize this easily. Somebody, they smile, but their eyes never smile. Somebody, they smile, but we can still see they don't have a full smile. They just pretend that they're happy. But deep inside, very lonely, very vast. Symbol our life in order to adapt. any situation of life. On Monday, I used to tell the nun not to cook. I told the nun that, don't worry, you know, much about daily meal. We only focus for the young monks. So if you cook, we used to cook, you know, good food in the evening. So after the young monks back home from school, they can have meal together. And because they are young, they need enough for their growing. But, you know, only few monks and nuns in the temple in daytime, we don't much worry about that. We can find anything left over from yesterday. Or if nothing left over, we can have some rice, some pickle, or some soy sauce, that's fine. First, do less work. Secondly, simple. And sometimes I teach the young monks to be simple in different way too. Because we live simple, we use our time and effort to focus to something else more meaningful. And you need to pay attention. If any day you eat too full in the evening, at night when you meditate, you fall asleep easily. I don't know if any one of you have this kind of experience. It's very, very difficult to sit. So usually in the evening, eat just enough, not too full. Sometimes the food is so good and we a little bit overate. We're so tired after that. Fall asleep right away. And remember that practicing of our practice is to arrive home. Where is the arriving? When we arrive, doesn't mean we arrive to the end of the birth and the death, but we arrive to the present moment, to the wonderful moment. And we also arrive to see, to recognize all the mental formations within us. Do you remember the third contemplation? May we recognize our unskillful state of mind, especially our greed, and learn to eat with moderation. If we are not arrive in the present moment, we will be carried away from many, many things. So when you arrive, you need to arrive to become something. What is that kind of becoming? Become one with the present moment. So if somebody asks a monk, how old are you now? The monk will say, oh, my age is the same as Amitabha Buddha. Because Amitabha have, you know, can infinity living. You ask 20 years, 30 years, that is the history human being, a short-term human being. But there is another longer one, no age, cannot count. And what is that? That is the freedom within you, the liberation within you. No framing, no destination. So when we say, I am arrive to the present moment, and you now will become one with the present moment. You live today, you know today. Whatever yesterday, you no longer remember. So sometimes you meet the Zen master, you ask them question, they will answer you something never related to your question. You know why? Because sometimes they don't want us to bother too much. They want to cut off our wandering mind. So they answer something straightforward nothing related. If you meet Master Linji, Lam Te, he's very famous. He never teach, only hitting. Beside him, always a stick. Somebody come and ask him a question. He just slap. But his slap with love. Slap with compassionate. And many people are awake from his hitting. Sometimes we have everything, but we never feel enough. We forgot the most beautiful thing we have now is the two bright eyes to see. The ears that we still can listen. The hands to hold, to hug. We still have all of that. So that's why one day the one of the students come and see the Zen master. Master, I want this, I want that. How can I become like this? How can I become like that? He didn't say anything. He used a stick. He tried to hit that guy. And that guy, after suddenly hit once, he very hurt. So he ran away. The master called him back. So he come back. And when he come back close to the master hold up the stick and almost hit him one more time. He tried to use his hand and protect himself. And the master said, "What else you need?" He awake. He said, "You have the eyes to see. That's why when I almost hit you, you see I almost hit you. That's why you use your hand to protect yourself. You still can see. When you run away, I call you back. You hear me. That's why you come back. Because you see, you have the eyes to see, the ear to listen. You are not poor at all. You are very rich. You are a happy guy. Why you complain too much?" You see how Zen master, they give lecturing. But now, if we do like that, what happened? You will call 911. That guy is not normal. I come to learn from him, but he never teach. Now we need to beg. Sangha practice. When you're able to help the other to see something, or to recognize something, or to relieve the pain they suffer, you're very happy. And when you see the positive results that you have done for others, that will become the encouragement to support you, to encourage you to do more and more. It's like when we are working with the kids. If they do something, we say, "Wow, you have done a great job." They will continue to do. One day, every time when we do a spring rolls at the temple, we need people to come and take out the pill, the grabbing pill. And sometimes we don't have enough people to help. I call Joshua to help. And after he take off pill to pill and he put everything nice and neat, when he bring back, he say, "See, without Joshua, Thai cannot do anything. He can sit there and do for hours." But sometimes we laugh at the kids like that, but if we reflect back, we are the same. We are very easy to get bored and give up. We are not strongly and stick with the path or with the practice. So when we are seeing the happiness of our practice and the happiness of helping others, and this happiness can become something very strong and very encouragement to support, to encourage us. Is that everything I try to share with you? I know some of your questions here, but whatever I share with you, did it answer what is your question yet? I apologize the Sangha that I forgot to translate the yearly schedule. Every year we have the full activities for the year, and I forgot to translate those activities into English. So that's why we announced the summer retreat a little bit late. That's why some of our sister or brother unable to take holidays on time. I know that we need to register holidays like beginning of the year. So if you miss for this year, if you're able to switch with your friend, and I try to remember to, or if you don't see, please remind Thai. Because sometimes a lot of activities and a lot of translations, and I forgot something major like that. Those important. We need to prepare a lot ahead of time to especially for the holidays. There's a question about Mahayana and Theravada in the Vietnamese tradition. I will share this topic next time, because I also want to share with you about the raining retreat of the monastics. This is one of the monks, Buddhist monastics tradition. We have to have a raining retreat once a year. In Vietnam, in China, in the tradition, 3 months. And no matter in Theravada or Mahayana, the raining retreat need to practice in all traditions. Because in India, only 3 seasons. They are winter, they are raining, and summer. They don't have autumn. They don't have fall. That's why this is the season of raining. And in the tradition, that when it's raining like this, monks don't travel. Now they stay home and they stay at one place to practice more. I will share with you more about this topic next time. And today, I appreciate all your questions. And I combine all the questions together as a talk. Hopefully, I answer most of your questions. If you are not satisfied, you can raise your hand and ask more. But I'm very happy every time when we are able to conduct a day for the Sangha, or even just a Friday night. Whenever I able to be with the Sangha, I can do something for all of you, I'm very happy. Especially like after a Friday night or after a day like this, I feel that, you know, I have offered my practice, my effort with the Sangha, and the Sangha also come together as a group to practice. It makes me very happy. Thank you for your presence, for your listening. Hope you enjoy your day and your weekend.